From the book of Romans, we are studying from Pastor Belu's preaching. We came across Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Based on this verse, we may sometimes question in reverse. Why do good things happen to bad people? Why do good things happen to bad people? After all, they are ungodly. When I say ungodly, I meant they are not safe, yet they seem prospering. But the truth of the matter, as recorded in Psalms of Asaph, which Brother Meng Pai covered in two services during Belu's honeymoon in Ipoh, or should I call it Ipo? This is what Asaph said in Psalms chapter 73, verse 17 and 18. He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, the sanctuary of God is in heaven, then understood I their end. In verse 18, thou castest them into destruction. And that's referring to hell. God cast them to hell not because they were rich, because they have no redeemer to save them from their sin. By the way, if you still don't know this truth. Jesus Christ is the redeemer for our sins if we confess and receive Him as our personal Savior. On the other hand, we wonder as Christians, why good things not happening in our life? It seems everything we go through, the suffering, and we wonder why the righteous suffer more. Other hard questions are, where is God in my tragedy or pain or suffering? Well, we probably read in the newspaper, I think of the accidents that recently happened in Singapore. A young 19-year-old girl, university student, was in a taxi and involved in an accident, and we read she passed away. She was the only child. I'm sure the parents are devastated in great pain. I'm sure their heart is shattered in many pieces. What about the three innocent lives? At Yio Chu Kang, they were just sitting there and waiting. Well, they lost their life in a lorry accident. I'm sure the loved ones are in great pain too. In past week, we also heard from Brother Jeffrey Dante. His brother died. I'm sure his parents and his brother's wife and children are in great pain, in great grief. No parent wish their children pass on before them. And he's not here today, it could be he made his trip to Philippines. Let's hold them in our prayer. God forbid, if any of us were to lose our loved one, what will be our reaction to God? What will be our reaction to God? In time like this, some may question, where is God in my tragedy, or in my pain, or in my suffering? These are valid questions, but often, sometimes there are no answers on this side of heaven. We learn that from book of Job. Even in his calamities, Job trusted in God. Not only that, he resolved to maintain his ways with God. We read that in chapter 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, he's referring to God, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain my own way before him. Sometimes after the suffering ended, we may see or have some answers. But if there is no answers, then what? Will we still seek God for God? From book of Job, we learn, how do we worship God during times of suffering? We already know Job is a righteous man who goes through some very hard times, emotionally, physically, and spiritually.
Let's recap
through this picture summary. When Job lost everything he had, his possession, his children, his health, which leaves him suffering, executing pain, he loses his wife's support, he endures the accusation of his three friends, and he becomes an outcast from society. His friends left him, his relatives left him. Well, we also learn in the book of Job about God's sovereignty. About God's sovereignty. In the first page to Job, we saw that God took Job through his creation. Well, Job understood. He created the universe. He created the stars, the moon, the earth, the heaven, everything he created. He even used the example of big birds such as ostrich, where he took away her wisdom. And he also pointed to Job. He even take care of the blackbird, the crows, when they cry for meat. In all of this, Job learned God's sovereignty. We also learn about the Satan. We learn about the Satan. In God's second speech to Job, God portrayed Satan as Behemoth and Leviathan, two great creatures that God created. And we also saw Job's three friends who came to comfort him, but they were miserable friends. And we also saw the attitude of Job towards suffering. Although God allowed Satan to bring suffering into Job's life, but God imposed limit on Satan's attacks, and he used the entire experience for Job's ultimate good. How, you may ask? Well, in the end of the chapter we saw in last week, Job was better off than he had been before, spiritually. His perception of God was stronger than it had been before, and his perception of his own inadequacy and God's supremacy. Like Job, those who continue to trust in God during suffering will experience God's comfort and blessing. Summary of Job. The book of Job shows us that some suffering is not because of sin. After all, he was righteous. The focus is not on what Job learned from suffering, not suffering itself. Suffering, therefore, teaches believers to look to future glory, to be obedient, to learn patience, to trust God, and to be sympathetic to others when they suffer. Book of Job also helps readers to learn how to respond if any fall concepts related to our own suffering. When we are under scrutiny, like Job's friends did, we need to know this truth: God is sovereign. The triune God has taught Job that He alone created everything, the heaven, earth, solar system, and galaxy, and all that is in them. And He alone controls all that He created. We learned that in the previous lessons. He is under no obligation to explain his action to his creation, that include us today. He alone is sovereign and unaccountable to anyone. Introduction to Job. A. Introduction to Job. The book of Job is a mixture of divine and human wisdom that addresses a major life issue. Why do righteous people suffer undeservedly? The book of Job points us the source of Job's suffering or affliction is none other than the accuser, Satan. After traveling throughout the earth, Satan went before the throne of God and challenged God. Satan alleged that Job feared God only because God protects and prospers him. Retribution recompense theology became one of the major focus in understanding suffering throughout the book of Job, or sowing and reaping. The presentation of this false theology is therefore found in Satan's statement before the throne of God. We read that in chapter 1 and 2. We also must understand from other passages of scripture, sometimes Christian sin, God punish the sinner. I could give you one example, taken from Numbers chapter 12, a familiar story of Miriam and Aaron, Moses' sister. They said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. And verse 10 says, behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O Lord, I beseech thee. And in verse 14, the Lord said, let her be shut out of the camp 7 days. For 7 days, Miriam stayed in leprosy before God healed her. So sometimes, of our own sins, God punishes us. Sometimes, for chastening or reproving Christians, we see that in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. It is for our own good that God correct us. Sometimes for strengthen our faith in God. We just sang the song this morning, the last hymn before this message. My grace is sufficient for thee. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and 8, Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We covered that last week. Therefore, he said in verse 8, for these things I besought the Lord thrice. 3 times he prayed that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes for strengthening our faith in Yahweh. So what does Yahweh mean? Well, Yahweh means God in Hebrew language. Sometimes to give opportunity to reveal His comfort and grace. How will we know God's comfort and grace? Well, through this experience. Though it's many verses, but let me read all to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 7, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. And whatever we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted. It is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall he also be of the consolation. So God use or give us opportunity to comfort us as we comfort others. But there are times when the compelling issue in the suffering of the saints is unknown, because it is for the heavenly purpose that those on earth can't discern. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 11, the Lord was speaking to Moses, and the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Keeping this verse in mind, let's look at John chapter 9, verse 1 to 3. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciple asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. If we read the rest of the story, Jesus was compassionate to this man. Jesus has a lesson for his disciple, therefore he spit on the ground and make a clay and apply the clay to the man's blind eyes and commanded him to go to the pool of Siloam to wash. After washing, he could see with his eyes. B. Purpose of Job. B. Purpose of Job. The book of Job addresses the problem of human suffering, more particularly the problem of suffering by the righteous person. The book of Job also teaches important lesson on how believers are to view and respond to their suffering and that of others. What are the lessons from Job? The lesson of sovereign design. The lesson of sovereign design. The key issue in the book of Job is not why, but who. Who is in control? God is. The sovereign and just God does all things well and is to be trusted no matter what. B. The lesson of emotion. The lesson of emotion. Book of Job is a drama in poetry and is an emotional book. We learn from Job that human emotion is not wrong as long as subject to truth. C. The lesson of good and evil. The lesson on good and evil. The book of Job powerfully communicates the ongoing conflict between Satan and the people of God. However, it demonstrates that even Satan is under God's sovereign control. The Bible taught us that the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, but he is still under God's sovereign control. Or we also can say that he's on God's leash. Even then, he tempted our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the story in Matthew chapter 4? After he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he tempted our Lord. So, where do we stand? He won't spare us either. Again, this morning, we sang the song. Our only defense is to gird up with full armor of God against the darkness of this world. Read His Word. Hide it in our heart. That will help us. D. The lesson of humble trust. The lesson of humble trust. During the times of severe hardship, the suffering believer should humbly recognize the sovereignty of God and continue to trust Him with a penitent and committed heart. The believer can take confidence in the following spiritual truth in the book of Job. God understand. God understand. In book of Job, chapter 12, verse 13, Job said, With him, referring to God, is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Not only that, God is our Redeemer. God is our Redeemer. In Job chapter 19, verse 25, we read, For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job said that, and that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth. Job knew the Redeemer, that's Jesus Christ, will be coming in future to redeem him. The Old Testament saints look forward to the coming of the Messiah of God, that's Jesus Christ. Well, we look at the past that already took place. God refines our character through suffering. God refines our character through suffering. In Job chapter 23, verse 10. But he knoweth the way I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God is in control. Job chapter 38 to 41, we read about that. Elihu confronted Job with this truth. And in Job chapter 42, verses 10 and 17, we also saw the end of Job last week. God rewards to those who humbly trust him to the end. Job's blessing was double-fold, as we look at them last week. For us, today God promised the crown of life, the crown of life. James chapter 1, verse 12 reads, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. If we wish to have this crown, then we have to endure temptation and come forth as gold. Okay, E, the lesson of defense. The lessons of defense. In the book of Job, Job was not guilty of sins his friend accused him of. Although Job voiced great frustration and struggle at times, he was honest and he was open about it in his defense against his three friends. Letter F, the lesson of perspective. The lesson of perspective. Perspective often become distorted in the heart of a trial for the sufferer. For Job, maintaining the correct perspective was a difficult challenge. Those who carefully study the book of Job will gain a clearer picture. Letter G, the lesson of helping those who hurt. The lesson of helping those who hurt. Although Job's three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, thought they are helping Job, but they just added more misery to him instead. And Job called them, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. From the negative example of Job's three friends, perhaps you may have your own idea from the lesson on Book of Job to comfort the sufferer. If not, we could use the following suggestion for comforting the sufferer. Pray earnestly for the one who is suffering. Number one, pray earnestly for the one who is suffering. Suffering Christian may have doubts about praying because the devil will create doubts, and so that the sufferer may not pray thinking God is punishing them. God is punishing them. Therefore, it's important to pray with the sufferer because the devil cannot stop God from answering your prayer for the sufferer. Let me repeat that again. The devil cannot stop God's people when they pray from answering. Number two, emphasize, be empathic, show empathy and genuinely with the one who is suffering. Show some compassion when they go through the suffering. Empathize with them. Don't belittle the one who is suffering. Don't do that. Don't talk too much. Sometimes we just need to listen. Don't become argumentative. Don't argue with them. Don't assume you know all the answers. Share encouraging words from God's promises from the Bible. Okay? Share encouraging words from God's promises in the Bible. Remind them. God is silent when our Bible is closed. God is silent when our Bible is closed. If I may take this opportunity, thank you for the comfort you showed to my wife Jill and myself. Thank you for the visit during her stay in hospital and your visit to our home to be encouragement to her. Thank you for the multiple visit by some sisters. Means a lot to us. Thanks for the well-wishes card you sent even in your overseas trip. Thanks for the WhatsApp message text that you sent to encourage Jill. Thanks to Pastor Belu and Sister Francis and Brother Meng Pai for updating our prayer needs in Wednesday night Bible study. And also thanks to Brother Meng Pai. He offered help to preach for me if I'm unable to do so. I appreciate that and I thank you for that. Well, church, because of your prayer, God has been good to us and answered our prayers. Jill don't have to do surgery for her two broken bones. She's healing good. She's able to walk. She's learning to walk. For myself, the specialist medication helping me to clear my cough. I don't think you heard any cough this morning. Thank you for that. Well, when we come to end of book of Job, I was thinking how to conclude the book of Job in three words. How can I conclude the book of Job in three words? Well, I would say Job, the faithful sufferer. Job, the faithful sufferer. The book of Job may begin the suffering of Job. It seems that way. But in the end of the truth, by the end of the book, the true title emerges. And that is, God is sovereign. That God is sovereign. Since we have some time, I quickly share or recap to you with the lesson that we have gone through. I think the other side of the printing, you'll see all the 12 lessons to help you to reflect. Lesson 1 says, it was written with feeling. Suffering is the plague of life and poetry is the language of the soul. The book of Job deals with suffering. What is the designer learner's response? Well, we will accept the study of book of Job as important. Many Christians, I was once like that, dislike the book of Job because it's a sad story of an upright man or righteous man suffering. In lesson 2, we learn to live right. We learn Job amplified the lifestyle of one who fears God. He led an upright life. He shunned evil and provided faithful spiritual leadership for his family. And that teaches all men to lead, to be the spiritual leader in our family. What's the desire learners respond? In the fear of the Lord, a true believer should seek to live right, no matter what. In lesson 3, resting Satan's attack. Satan accused Job before God and afflicted Job with much suffering. While God intervened behind the scene, God showed confidence in Job, knowing that Job's faith was genuine and would therefore withstand Satan's assaults. Job didn't know that. What is the desired learner response? Satan will attack believers, but believers can overcome Satan's attacks through faith in God and through his Bible. Lesson 4. Tragedy strikes. Job suffered the loss of his children, possession, health and wife's moral support, but he kept the upright character in all of this. The desire learners respond, God is trustworthy for who He is, no matter what the circumstances we face. In lesson 5, we learned that about Job laments. After being joined by his three friends, Job openly lamented his tragedies and confused and confessed through a painful feeling. He wished he hasn't been born. He wished he had died, and so on. What's the desire response to this? Praising God and maintaining hope in Him are the right response to deep sense of grief. Lesson 6, he was falsely accused. Job was falsely accused. Eliphaz, one of the three who spoke first, accused him of sinning against God. And that is why God is punishing him. He had a false understanding of God. Well, through this lesson, the believers can learn that believers should seek God for God, not for what God can do for them. We do not worship God because He blesses us. We worship God for who He is. In lesson number 7, God, justness, and Job suffering. God, justness, and Job suffering. Bildad, 3 talks demonstrated that Job could be suffering as a righteous person because he could not be suffering as a righteous person because that would violate God's justice. So he counseled Job to repent. Well, the desire learner response to that is, God is always just in His dealing with His people. God is always just. In lesson number 8, he was unjustly confronted. Job was unjustly confronted during 2 conversations. Zophar unjustly accused Job of hypocrisy and told him to return to the Lord. Job responded to Zophar with a tone of sarcasm and maintained that his wisdom was superior. And Zophar need to reevaluate his thinking. Well, in this lesson, what we can learn is God is defined neither by our experiences or our interpretation of history, but through His revelation of Himself in His Word, the Bible. We need to determine to build a trusting relationship with God based on His words rather than our expectation or experiences. In lesson 9, praise God majesty. In 4 powerful speeches, Elihu reminded Job that no matter what happens, God is good and right in all His ways. Although Job faced severe trials, God has not abandoned him. Job needed to trust God and perceive that God is refining his faith. Learners respond. The believer should praise God's majesty despite his or her circumstances during the trial or during suffering. Lesson 10, trust Him. We learn about trusting God. God spoke to Job out of the mighty whirlwind. He asked Job a series of questions and desire for Job, and show Job that His sovereign control of all things. This question and description shows Job that God deserves his trust and obedience even in times of suffering. Desired learners respond, God is wise. God's goodness is evident wherever, and is always worthy of our trust. In lesson 11, we learn about God's sovereign power. God used the second speech to communicate.